RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Hey, got a little news for you. It is, first of all, it's crossover time, so we welcome in Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. But starting today.
That's my quarter.
This is today, Monday through Thursday. Starting today, the crossover is brought to you by Bay Alarm. Rest easy. We've got you covered. BayAlarm.com. They're going to be our sponsor Monday through Thursday. Atco holding on barely on Fridays. The crossover, Bay Alarm, right in your face. Gotta love it. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Steiny?
About time somebody got themselves locked into the biggest, baddest segment in
the day. There you go. Like, tell them, Will.
Hello?
Somebody asked Nahegan how much we're getting for that from Bay Alarm.
Yeah.
What's one of those accounts cost? Risotto, get on it.
Gucci!
That's right.
What about the game, damn it?
That was a great game.
That was incredible!
Incredible. Oh,
I'm still tired. Woo, that's a journey.
Don't stop believing.
Oh, my God.
That's a four.
What was that?
That was
Purdy's on fire!
Purdy's on fire, and the defense was really, really poor until they had to be actually halfway decent.
Held into a field goal in the third, and that won you the game.
Exactly. And then on that last drive, the hook and lateral, and
what are you doing?
Diamond Lenore saw it. He squared it up. He held his ground. He made the tackle, and that was it.
How bad was being with the clock? I thought he didn't want to give the Niners the ball back. That's how scared. That was on his mind when he – what are you doing?
No question.
All right, no question.
I thought Ben started that process when it was 35-28, and it's 4th and 5 at the 30 – still 10 minutes to go in the game.
Man, Will.
And he's like, we're going for it.
Man.
And I hate Sunday night football. I'm so glad.
I forgot you were doing it.
I know you guys are all bummed the Niners aren't Sunday night. Selfishly, I'm so glad they're not Sunday night.
That's big.
So I don't have to host a stupid show during the middle of the game. But anyway, I said to Ephraim, I joked, I go, first team to kick a field goal loses. And that's exactly what happened. And that's the way he coached it. He's like, if I settle for a field goal now, we're dead. We're going to be down by 10. And he would have been right. So anyway.
And Kyle on the 4th and 3 doesn't punt or kick that. It would have been, I think, a 60-yarder. They go for it. They get it. And they score a touchdown on that drive. Like, it's these games are coming down to 6 stops or non-stops. You know what I mean?
Hello.
Like, the you get a stop or you force a field goal, that may end up winning the game down the line.
I also think, I know it's uncomfortable to watch the 49ers try to play defense right now. It's not that abnormal across football. Big 12's been doing this for 20 years.
Gotcha.
A lot of college football does. And if you even look around the NFL, let me ask you guys, how many defenses in the NFL are you like, oof?
There's two. They play one this weekend, and I got to give the Eagles, not their offense, the Eagles' defense I put up there on a good day could cause the Niners problems.
Are you talking NFC only?
Yeah. I went the whole league NFC.
Houston. Houston.
Okay, I forgot that.
Houston's the dog.
Buffalo has no D. They were good yesterday, but yeah, okay, so 3 to me.
Denver at times, but then when Jacksonville came in there and torched them a couple weeks ago. And then even, people go, the Rams and Seahawks have good defense.
No, I'm down on the Rams,
I'm old enough to remember a week and a half ago when they played a 38-37 football game.
Now, was that – well, the Niners had prolific offense. I was going to say, is that because Seattle both the Rams and Seahawks, to me, got offense, you know?
Of course. Of course.
But still, it doesn't mean you can't stop one another. And they didn't.
And the forecast is calling for rain.
Steiny brought that up. Yep. Tibbs up. That's not good for Purdy.
No, not good for the Niners, a team that loves a fast track, like the greatest show on Levi's and whatever it is. They're putting up 40 all the time. So if it's rainy and you have to rely on McCaffrey in the ground game, well, you can do that. And we'll do a little bit of a, not a deep dive, but a medium dive on, oh boy, the Niner run game is back. Well, is it? You had the 143-yard run from McCaffrey, and he had a 17-yard run that ended the first half. And beyond that, tell me how they did. Mm. It was mostly like zeros, ones, twos, and threes again. So, yeah, the O-line was good, and Brock Purdy was amazing. But when you get into a sloppy game like you're going to have, can you really run it consistently and win?
So you're saying the 6.1 yards a pop for McCaffrey, if you didn't watch the game, kind of was skewed because of the long
run?
It's
a little inflated. I mean, there were two of them, and it doesn't mean that those don't count because McCaffrey was amazing on that one where he scooted along the left side and, you know, stayed in bounds and shook a guy and juked a guy, and McCaffrey was awesome. But, but it's not that they were able to run it for 4 and 5 a pop every time.
So what were his final numbers, McCaffrey?
I'd have to look.
He averaged 6.1.
Right, he's like 25 and 140, something like
that's
that.
That's about right.
Yeah. Okay, so if you take those runs out, which I know you said you can't do, then that game resembles more of the way they've won games all year. And I'm telling you, I'm convinced that this yards per carry,
yeah,
it doesn't look good, but there's something about it that's not killing them.
I don't know. See, I thought, I mean, because first of all, anytime a running back averages 5-6 a carry, that means they busted one.
Because Chicago averaged five, but only ran it 22 times.
Yeah, you're going to get a 25 in there or whatever. I felt like, and this isn't sexy, but a lot to me, the entire key sometimes to a lot of offenses, Niners included, if that first down run just goes for four, just get, and there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of second and six, second and five is so different than second and nine and second and 10. So I thought it was actually pretty effective. Yes, there were a few, because look at Brian Robinson. He only had four carries, but he averaged 5.5. You know what I mean? And yes, he had a 15-yard carry. But I don't know. I thought the Niners, last couple weeks, they've been a lot more successful not setting up second and long.
Yeah.
Which, that's when Shanahan and Purdy are just like, they're
they are in a zone
deadly.
Right now.
Yeah. Absolutely deadly.
And I can't wait, and I love that the football gods are bestowing upon us the Seattle Seahawks, who I believe is a top three defense.
For
I left Houston out of there, and then possibly Philly. But the play of the year in the NFL, tell me if I'm doing too much, guys, is the touchdown and the ski skirt, the crossover, if you want to call it, from Purdy to Juice in the end zone. And I told Steiny and the listeners, there's Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, all these dudes, Lamar Jackson, that run, but they run differently. Purdy's runs are to buy him time. They do the naked boots and the rollout, and I get all that. But the way he possesses or uses his weapons and wheels to then throw, I want to say uncanny, but right now he's moving up my charts. This is just who this dude is, and shame on me for being late to the party. I knew he had wheels,
right,
but the way he's using them.
Well, it's footwork, and then it's body control. So he goes left, and then it's the touchdown to Juice where he goes left, and he stabs out, and then the defender comes up, and he goes half a shoulder turn, and then he turns back the other way. And so both guys miss, and now it's scramble, 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 and then the defense has to come up, and then it's right to Juice. And so it's pocket awareness, it's mobility, it's foot control, and then it's the ultimate awareness of, like, where am I? Am I past the line? No. Where's Juice? Oh, he's all alone. Let me just flip it out there. Touchdown. Teach me how to Dougie.
And I'm like, I tell Stoddy this all the time. It's going to get him in trouble. Cleveland, a great defense. Remember that game? And if you think you got him, he just throws it away to live another down, no yards lost.
Well, they had the one against Chicago where he rolls right, and he's setting up, and he's looking. And then next thing you know, kaplow!
Oh, dude,
from the backside.
Had he not ducked, Chris said it on the thing. Something could have been loose in that back.
Yeah.
Jim Bird on Montana.
Yeah, I just think, you know, even looking at, I mean, his first throw of the game, first play of the game. It's already 7-0 Chicago, and you can feel everybody go, okay, here we go. But this is, I don't know, when you look around the league, I'm cool with somebody who is going to this play that you now call the play of the year. Kyle Shanahan admitted, like, he made was him nervous. Super uncomfortable.
He did say it, right?
But that's what the really good players are made of. Like, they're gonna push it a little bit.
Steph, why you shoot? Oh, you made it.
Yeah, you're gonna turn the ball over.
He's on fire.
Here or there.
He's on fire. Ten touchdowns, two games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good player.
I mean, the other thing is what we might be seeing is their offense is coming along, and they're also just playing a little riskier, maybe a little taking a little more chances because they know down the line they're going to have to score. They're going to have to. So, you know, I always think of Kyle Shanahan as a pretty safe coach, but maybe that's changing a little bit because he knows they've got to put up an extra touchdown or so a game.
It's a weird dynamic for a team like the Niners. It's a big brand. Vegas loves the Niners. They're 12-4. They're home. They have everything on the line for the one seed, and bettors immediately bet them to being an underdog in their own building. And they opened as a favorite. So I think that speaks to what you're talking about right now, Stein, is no matter how fun and impressive this is, seemingly whatever they do, it's not going to bring belief with it.
Well, would the one seed?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I mean, it'll be more.
But wouldn't you want to play the team coming to San Francisco just on their defense alone? Wouldn't you be like, that's what we want to play? Offense is.
Yeah, after. But you got to stop them.
Yeah.
You got to stop them.
But you feel like they got to stop you too. You know what I mean?
I know, but like, okay, so the Bears went up and down the field on them, right?
By
the same token, as you sat in your seat last night in that game, you spotted the other team.
Gave
the 7-0 lead and the ball coming out at halftime. You spotted them that. You still won. So, like, I hear you. Yeah, it's probably going to be fun for the playoff quarterbacks to go against the Niners. But it's not going to be fun for them to sit on the sideline and watch what their defense is going to have to do.
I asked Donnie this. What do you two do? It's a short week, quote, unquote, with Kittle and Trent. Because no matter what happens, you're going to be in the offs.
Right.
Hopefully it's two games. But I'm asking you, too, if they say I can go, you go? Or do you say, hey?
Kittle plays, and he said that he was close, and that was part of the sideline reporting, and I watched it back again today. And, you know, Kittle was like, I was close, but we're going to go ahead and be cautious. He plays. Trent? I don't know.
Probably not.
We wait
hamstring.
Until we get
play.
Probably not on.
Well, and he was trying to chase down the pick six.
Anthony Davis like just running after the ball Christmas Day.
Right, and it was a hammy, and it was an immediate like, ooh, the tent, and like, where's my hat, and take off my tape. That wasn't even like maybe let me give it another shot. That was a hammy and gone. So I think that you're hoping for the one seed because he might be out 2 weeks or more.
And Pleasance played well enough.
He was
enough,
very pleasant.
Right? Yeah. So you're like.
It's a two.
Again. It's too easy. It's too easy.
You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Any thought on Pearsall going down at the one? Or never crossed your mind?
Jennings, you mean?
I mean Jennings, sorry.
I go, he's crazy.
He scored with 2:15
too fast.
Oh.
No way.
No. Not when you're losing.
Okay.
Not when you're losing. If the game was tied, sure.
They were down 3.
Yeah.
That's the one with 2.
That's a hell of an assumption. Can you imagine if he goes down and then McCaffrey fumbles the next play? Can you imagine?
Or,
like... I just don't think you mess with that. That's kind of like if you're down one in the NBA and you got the ball with 20 seconds to go and someone gives you a layup.
I said fouling on the three you're up.
Let's just hold it and shoot it. I would never do that.
The ultimate
disrespect to your defense would be to fall down because it's like we don't want the other team to have the ball. I get it. I mean, your question.
But, I mean, they ended like I feel like the clock ended up beating.
Huh?
The Bears last night. I didn't like the way they went about that from the get-go. It just felt like they were too casual. And it's almost like he had thought, well, the only way we can win the game is if we score on the last play of the game.
Right, right.
But
if you could have left 20 or 25.
I mean, you got it. But you got to take one with 34.
Okay, let me ask you. If the Bears go up by 3 with 34 seconds, what do you think happens?
I think the Niners could get in field goal range.
Yeah, we're going overtime.
Because the Niners were going to get back.
Well, no, they were dead. At that point.
They had two.
No,
they
but the Niners,
well, they used
Niners
one defense,
were
up.
They used
so.
One, but they had two
which
timeouts.
Which one
are
they used one
about?
Earlier. They had one left. I'll get okay. my notes.
Wait, okay. what are we talking? Which?
Either way, even if it's one timeout in 34 seconds, you think the Niners, with the kickoff rules, are going to get the ball into field goal range?
But they would have been down.
Three. They would have been down by three.
Yeah, I
give them time to go get the field goal, is what he's saying.
I'm not saying, like, I don't want a touchdown with 30 seconds left.
Ben was scared of his defense against what that Niner,
I
believe.
Wasn't.
What was the – here's the play that I thought got him beat with the time. I think they completed a pass to, like, the 49ers 40, 35-ish.
Yep.
And instead of calling their first timeout, they went up and spiked it. And then the next thing you know, there's like, what, 34 seconds to go, and they're still sitting with three timeouts?
That was bad.
They actually threw a pass on, and I know what you're talking about. They complete the burden on 3rd and 10.
Yes.
And he gets to the 32-yard line, and that's the one where he caught it, and he jabbed, and he ran by, and he got the first, and he went down. And Collinsworth was like, timeout.
Yeah, Collinsworth said it.
He was
so what was the time difference there?
Well, then they threw to Burden for 6 yards, and then they called timeout with 40 seconds left.
So they didn't spike it?
No. No, they threw it, and he got six, and then they called timeout, and it was 2nd and 4 at the 26, and they used their first timeout.
How much time?
40 seconds. And then they threw to Duvernay, which, why would you throw to Duvernay? He's your kick returner, but whatever. Incomplete. And now it's 3rd down, and they threw to Burden, and
incomplete.
You had the drop.
Yeah.
It was the drop.
That was a big one.
Lucas, it was high, but he went up, and he dropped it.
Yeah, and that's why they had to call timeout before the 4th down, right?
No, the ball's incomplete.
No, that was 3rd down.
They had to call timeout.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They called timeout before the 4th down play because they were a little discombobulated.
Yeah, they wanted to get their play.
And then they found Loveland for 13, and they used their final timeout there with 26 left. So,
did anybody not convert a 4th down last night?
It felt that 4th and 5. I'm like, this is the game. Yeah. They got it.
I think the Bears went for 3. The Niners went for at least 1.
Felt like they got everyone they needed.
I think everybody got them all.
So Loveland catches the ball
to the 13.
Okay. That's the time where maybe you roll it, run up and spike it with 18 seconds and you still have 1 left.
Perhaps. I mean, it was 26.
They called timeout after that one, didn't
they? They did. Yeah,
they called timeout after that
one. That was their last one?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're talking about 3 plays earlier.
Yeah,
if they had saved those 15 seconds.
Totally.
Because here's the – what down was it the last play?
The last play was 2nd down.
How about that? They could have had 2 more shots at it.
That's just terrible.
I'm with you.
That's
they could have had 2 more tries at it.
You allowed the clock to be another defender.
An enemy, yes.
Wow.
And the play call on the little
– that just – you didn't have enough time.
Looking lateral?
Yeah.
That was genius, but if you had a timeout –
only if it works.
But
if you had a timeout, then you would have used it there and you would have had like 14 seconds to your point.
Yep.
You wouldn't have had to run up and spike it.
Wow, man.
So had you used the timeout or saved one earlier, you would have had one there where if you're going to run a play like that where you have the hook and the lateral, you pretty much know he's not going to get out of bounds. He'll either score or be tackled. And if he's tackled, now you run and spike and you got 1 play left.
I think Ben Johnson's thinking,
I don't want them with the ball.
I'm going to shoot my shot.
Wow.
This is all I got. I think we can score on this
one in the hand is better than two. He blew that.
Lenore was in the right spot
and
had some help, and they made the play.
And the delayed blitz
is by
Sala.
The Niners did have 2 timeouts.
Timeouts.
I apologize. Yeah.
No apology. They did that. So, like, the time management thing to me always gets dicey because it's real easy after the fact.
Because you're assuming you're going to do your part and you didn't.
Right. So they could have played it a little bit different, but by the time they got to midfield, you could tell that Johnson's like, I'm not giving the ball back.
That's just wild.
You are not getting the ball back.
And you lost.
Yeah, they lost. Caleb puts 1 more yard of air under that throw. It's caught. If he throws it to Swift on the outright, right as he snaps the ball, he probably scores. DJ Moore is by himself in the other corner of the end zone. About 5 plays earlier, your boy Duvernay, Caleb threw it into the ground to
Stoudy goes, that's kind of, and Chris was on it. He was upset. Like, you got to make that. Stoudy's like, that's kind of hard.
It's tough. But
he had a touchdown on one.
Touchdown.
Yeah. And
you
that's
gotta get it there, baby.
Caleb has gotten better, and their offense is better. But if you look at his completion percentage below 60, that is like 1970s. Steiny, you and I remember guys like Dan Pastorini, where you'd go 11 for 26, and it's like, he had a good game. But Caleb throws a great deep ball, but plays like that, he had three or four that were just straight up pitch and catch. Yeah. And you know, I don't want to steal from the president of Brockistan over here because he can't wait to brock it up all
day. Just want to say hi to all my game manager people.
I think it's pretty easy.
I want to say hi to all the hot hand people. Yeah. But
the hot hand.
When it comes to a throw that is like not only easy but kind of like manageable, he makes it. Yeah. And that's where Caleb had two or three Collinsworth was like, just throw it out there.
He couldn't let it go.
Yeah, Caleb's gotten a lot better. He still doesn't see the field as well as the players he's trying to be like. Yeah. But he took a big jump.
I'm thanking the football god. Steiny brought up when they went up to Seattle for the division and they stopped him at the 1 yard line.
Trey Greenwell.
And I believe it was 2021 against the Rams. What was at stake that last game? And then here we go with this is everything. The fact that you can only play two games and not leave the crib. And if you lose, you're still in the offs. Right. But you got to be a division foe twice is what I hate. Mm. Just you got to sweep them.
So let me ask you guys this: if the Niners are underdogs in their own building this Saturday night, what happens if they win another game that looks like this? You know, 31-30, they win, then they get a week off, and in 2 weeks, I mean, what is it? Is it the Rams? Who will probably come to town?
Whoever it is, the Rams, you got to be favored.
The Rams are going to get to go to Carolina.
Yeah.
And wipe that stupid division out of the playoffs.
So Seattle will be the six with a loss?
Probably.
If the Rams handle their business.
Depending on what the Rams are all doing.
Yeah.
Sure.
If the Rams win.
And then the Pack would be the seven?
The Pack is already locked in as the seven.
They can't go nowhere. Okay.
Right. So if the Pack loses to the two seed, which will be the Bears.
Or the Eagles?
It's the Bears. The Bears beat the Eagles.
Eagles are going to be three.
So let's say the Packers go to Chicago and lose. Let's say the Niners are the one seed. Then you're going to get
4-5.
Or 6-3, depending on. So whatever it is, it's not going to be Philly, but it will probably be the Rams or the Seahawks. Are you then a dog in your own building again?
Little home dog.
As the one seed in your first game?
Wow. Depends on Trent and George and Ricky. And
if the Rams are coming, who would you favor?
If the Rams are covered, maybe it's probably a one-point spread either way, I would say. Much like this game where the Niners open as favorites and now they're dogs by a point and a half, home dogs.
Is that because of the injuries, you think? Or the people not knowing if those two studs are going to play?
Because they don't stop anyone.
Yep. But they did when they had to. That field goal was delayed blitzes by Sala. You can't tell me threw Williams off his thing. Like,
I mean, Phillip Rivers going up and down the field.
Norm was like, you could have been blitzing all game, but the fact that you held it and then used it when you needed it, it did to me confuse him.
Look, this is so great, but you can't escape. This goes through my head. Does this go through other Niners fans' heads? You're watching Rivers do what he does and Caleb Williams do what he does. And just ask yourself, what would Stafford do?
And that's what Vegas is probably thinking, too. And that's probably why I see it.
It's a little daunting.
Yeah.
It's a little daunting, isn't it?
And I don't take Hurts out of that group either yet of, like, he could hurt you.
Sure, well, sure he
with
could.
With that offense.
Sure he could.
I turned on Philly radio yesterday. I need a life. You would act like they lost because they didn't score in the second half.
Yeah.
I
do think with the 49ers, a lot of it does come down to who the other quarterback is, because I do think they've proven this year that they can give a little bit of trouble to guys who aren't as seasoned, and, you know, who are they going to get in the playoffs?
Because Matt Stafford was perfecto damn near. I know it was recency bias, but this last game here, 21-0, I know there was a fumble, but offensively he did whatever he wanted.
Who's in tomorrow? Both you guys?
We're here. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah. Okay. And then what about Wednesday?
We got the Warriors. We're preempted.
During the show, where am I going to be on Wednesday during the show, Steiny? Wednesday during the show.
It's your favorite part of the show. So
Where am I going to be? Check your Evite. Where am I going to be?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Where won't he be?
I won't be at 95.7, the game.
There you go.
That was nice.
You're welcome.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my goodness. How good was that?
Awesome.
How good was that? And we've spent the last 2 weeks we've come in here, and we're all mad at the Warriors for ruining Victory Monday.
Not today.
Well, they tried, but this one was just too good.
Whatever, so, overtime blowout. That doesn't happen.
No. I mean, so stupid.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, there's absolutely nothing that's going to break our stride. I want to start the show, though. I hope everybody just had a blast. Late last week.
Yeah.
For the holiday and whatever you celebrate. I hope everybody, it was fun to listen to everybody come in on Stein and Goo talk about what their favorite gift was throughout the holidays, or I don't know, who you got to see, who you got to spend time with. I hope it was just absolute bliss for each and every one of you. But we weren't missing today, and we're not missing tomorrow, coming in as the NFL season comes into focus. And I don't know any other way to say this other than, look, yeah, they're dogs this weekend. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's quote-unquote supposed to look. But if you can't just kind of take a moment and enjoy this ride, I don't know how else to do this. This is absolute unbelievable theater. I bet the Niners probably helped a lot of people win their fantasy championships last night. Good Lord. This offense has hit the exact stride that we said a few weeks ago, well, they better.
Yep.
They better, because the defense is just too hampered by injury, so the offense better be devastating, and oh my God, is it devastating.
And barely devastating enough, because the Bears are at the 2-yard line with a chance to still beat you. Even though you score 42, you still might lose, because the defense, they struggled, and Grady's grades tomorrow will get all the way into what he broke down as far as the defense. But the offense, my God, Brock Purdy, he is slippery, he is slithery, he is slimy, he's accurate, he's a boss, he throws the Dougie. And then beyond that, like, when you need players to make plays, Ricky Pearsall makes a catch. Oh, he's hurt again. Comes back, yep. makes a catch. Oh, I think he's out again. And all through that, Trent Williams plays a grand total of one
play.
Snap. A single play.
One play and went the wrong way.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, he went the wrong way, and the way he went eventually was chasing after a guy who
that's
had the
what I
ball.
Mean. Yeah, he's running the wrong way. That's not the way we want Trent Williams running. He's
no,
running
and
the other
I mean,
way.
And you're not going to catch him anyway, Trent. You can go ahead and shut it down, but exactly. that's fine. And Austin Pleasance comes in and plays well enough, and the O-line was good enough, and McCaffrey was, oh my God, McCaffrey, touch number 399 on the year. He's going to be, if he has a normal McCaffrey game on Saturday, apparently, he's going to be top 20 all time in touches per year.
Saturday thing bother you?
Not really.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised, actually. We were kind of predicting it on the show last night with the Panthers, Bucks, the Ravens, Steelers, and the Niners, Seahawks. And we were like, if the Niners win this game, which one do you think is the headliner? And actually, Ephraim was like, Niners, Seahawks. Look at the way this scoring is. And this is incredible. It's so much fun. I go, right, but the Steelers-Ravens game is an elimination game.
Yep.
So it's actually a playoff game. And the Niners-Seahawks game, while fun, while dripping with intrigue, and it matters, loser's not going home. The loser is just packing and heading to the airport. And so,
and the other one's Carolina-Tampa. Well, that's also an elimination game, but I mean that's kind of the appetizer, as you like to say.
Although, based on pending tonight, there is a scenario where I think Carolina loses that football game next weekend and still wins the division.
Oh wow!
If the Falcons win out too, I believe if it ends up being a three-way tie at 8-9.
Wow!
By the way, if it does, all three teams, you should all just get together and go away, everyone's searching for a way to fix that whole seeding thing. Should you host a game if your division? Here would be, how in college football you have to have at least a 500 record, or you did for a long time
to go
to a bowl game? You had to be 6-6 to qualify. That would be, let's start there. If you don't have a winning record, you don't host. You can't host. You can't host at 8-9. I would start there.
Yeah.
You can still win the division. You can come to the playoffs. But that number five wild card who invariably is going to have a really good record, they get you. They get you in their building if you went 8-9 or 7-10.
Yeah, they'll never do that. I mean, they're all about trying to reward the division champ, and I get that. And, in this division where you've got 8-8, 7-9, 6-9, 6-10, shout out New Orleans, by the way. For not going full tank mode, New Orleans is a threat now. If only we're a 28-game season, they might win that the NFC South.
Tyler Shutt guy looks like he's got a little something.
A little moxie.
A little something. Yep. So anyway, what a fun year it's been. It's not over yet. We kind of know who all the playoff teams are going to be, except for the whole Tampa Carolina thing and the Baltimore-Pittsburgh thing. But outside of that, it's just kind of how does the deck shuffle itself. And the fact that the Niners are right in the middle of all of that with everything still on the line is absolutely incredible. And as of this morning on FanDuel, Kyle Shanahan has jumped the field. And I wonder how many of you know this. As of today, Kyle Shanahan is the favorite to win Coach of the Year in the NFL. Over Vrabel.
Over Vrabel, yeah.
Over Liam Cohen. Over Mike McDonald, which, of course, will probably flip if Mike McDonald wins this game coming up this weekend. But Kyle Shanahan, I've thought all along, well, it's not going to be him because he's too accomplished and too respected going in. But the injury situation is so intense to end up playing that game last night. No Fred, no Nick, no Trent, no George, 42 points. Against
no Michael, right? I mean, all the way through it,
and going against another 11-4 team. I don't know, man. I know it triggers a lot of Niner fans through the years. Whenever they're like, "Why does everyone call him a genius?" How about now? This is I'll at least say this. This is a genius season from Kyle Shanahan. 8 games with Mac, 8 games with Brock. Very few, George out, Ricky out, Trent now out, no Nick, no Fred, 12-4? This is the definition of coach of the year.
It's been a masterclass, and if you look at the red zone offense, they are number two behind Philly, and yesterday they were 5 for 5 in the red zone. And so even though the game starts in the worst possible way, other than fumbling the kickoff and having them score on that play, they score in the next play. And I'm watching with my father-in-law, shout out Pop Pop, and my wife is there, my daughter's whatever, playing Candyland, beating up on somebody else other than me for a change. And
that's nice. You know,
my wife is like, wait, oh my God, is that how the game starts? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it starts, you're down 7-0. And the overarching feeling in the room was like, oh boy. This one,
yeah.
I mean, this ain't going to be good.
No, I know. It's like, oh, gosh, they're going against an actual team. The Bears lead the NFL in turnovers.
Yep.
And it was funny. Again,
and it was a great play, too. Great. Yeah. It was not a Johnson, bad throw, per se.
He shouldn't have thrown it. He got. Like, yep. Johnson stepped. He knew the route. He stepped in front of it. He made a play. He's a great player. This is what the Bears do. This is how they've won their games. Look at their point differential. I think the Bears come in now today. They're 11-5. I think it's plus 29.
Correct.
Yep. Is that right?
Yep.
That's very small for that kind of a record.
Way behind Detroit, who's 8-8.
Right. But what Chicago does is they turn you over. They lead in turnovers. They lead in turnover differential. The whole key to the game yesterday was to protect the ball. One play in, they didn't do it. The rest of the way, they did.
Yep.
And therefore outscored them by pretty much two touchdowns
the rest of the way. Yep.
So, and that'll be the key again this weekend. Seattle's a very, very good defense.
It's going to be the key the rest of the way. Like, no matter who you face in the playoffs, and ultimately they could wind up as the sixth seed, right? And they could go.
The Niners?
Yeah.
Yes. That's actually most likely if they lose.
If they lose, they'll be the sixth, unless the Rams lose tonight and, you know, you get into all those machinations of, you know, what the Falcons can do, in, you know, to change things in the South, whatever. That wouldn't affect what the Rams are going to be. But if they wind up as the sixth, then okay, you're going to have to go to Chicago in a rematch game in, you know, the cold confines, the drafty nature of Soldier Field, depending on how they do.
Yeah, yeah. The Bears have their tiebreaker over Philly. They beat them on Black Friday.
Right.
But all of this depends on what they all do this weekend. That's the other thing. Very few playoff teams can just be like, we're resting. We'll take the last week off, like often is the case.
Right.
But the one seed is in doubt in both conferences. The Packers are the 7, and I think the Chargers are locked in somewhere.
Yeah, and the Chargers just announced that they're resting Herbert.
They're not locked in, by the way, but I think they're just waving the white flag. They're kind of like 5, 6, 7, whatever. Our quarterback's hand is broken, so we're gonna go ahead and take the L on this one. But yeah, everybody's got something to play for this weekend.
Pretty fun. Yeah. Even through 17 games and, you know, the Niner game being a Saturday marquee, I don't mind. And it's a double short week, whatever. And it's going to be here. And so, yeah, you go ahead and do what you do. And then Sunday you clear the decks. And I don't know if this automatically means they'll play Saturday in the wild card round. I heard that thrown out as like, well, they're doing this that way, you know, whoever loses will play on Saturday next week. Feels to me like the Niners will be a marquee Sunday game.
Yeah, I don't think that's locked in at all. I think the thought is that Carolina-Tampa thing, whatever, will probably be a Saturday game. So they're playing on Saturday. But the loser between the Niners and Seahawks is no lock to end up being the team that gets to go to Carolina or Tampa.
And I wonder who is the Monday night, like, we bury you on Monday night. Not that it's a burial, but that's usually like the... Like the first game on Saturday is the game the NFL's least interested in.
Right.
But then you have the standalone Monday game, and normally you don't put one of your marquee teams in there.
That's got Jacksonville written all over it.
Jacksonville, Houston, right? Yeah, one of those two.
Yeah. Or, do the Chargers end up in Jacksonville? Maybe you feel like a nice Monday night game.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Hey, there's a Warrior game here in 2 hours. So we got that going on as well. Aren't they fun?
Yeah.
How about that? The Golden State Warriors, everybody. Good freaking Lord. Anyway, we got time to get to that later because we got Warriors Live coming up in an hour. Until then, Dub Nation, let's get engaged. You know we do this before every game. You vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. All right, Steph Curry had 41 minutes last night. Jimmy Butler played 38. Does Steve Kerr kind of half-step with them today? We'll see. Will those two combine tonight to score more points than the Niners did last night? which was 42.
Wow, that's a great question.
It's a yes or no question. Go vote on Twitter. We'll share the results. Will Curry and Butler combine to score more than the Niners did last night? In this?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be a blowout. I don't know, but Warriors in Brooklyn coming up. As you know, especially on this show, we're always super interested in kind of the fan experience. And so we have an hour to play around with what happened last night in Santa Clara. 888-957-9570. How does this team make you feel? Like, how would you describe this experience? Because we can all wake up today and go, man, that offense. But half the game was played on the other side of the ball. And it's very, like I'll call it, it's very uncomfortable to watch this. So it is a true kind of a roller coaster ride. And so you watch last night. How does that make you feel? And where do you think that lands them in the NFC framework as we get ready for the playoffs? We would love to hear from you and take your phone calls, as many of them as possible, on a Victory Monday. 888-957-9570. That is the number. It's your calls next. It's all your calls until Warriors Live. We're sponsored by Safeway. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Let's start bugging Dibs right now on the whole Happy New Year thing, because we only got like 2 weeks before he loses it. Okay? This is Willard and Dibs.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
He's got it to head to the running yard. Total heel. McCaffrey first down, sideline. McCaffrey's longest run of the year. All the way down to the 23-yard line. By far his longest run of the season. 43 yards.
Goodness gracious, if he gets running the football, no telling what this offense could be.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I think these 49ers, they challenge our historical sensibilities. I made fun of, remember the Burrow comments 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was? And everyone was like, dude, Joe, you all right? Are you going to play football?
Maybe not.
Do you hate the Bengals? And now it's different because I don't think the Niners' offensive line is trash. But the Bengals are like, we got a quarterback and we got two fancy receivers. Let's play football. And I get it. That's frustrating for a quarterback because you don't give them an offensive line. You don't give them a defense. And if they don't score 45 points, they lose and you hate them. And that's not what works in the NFL. And then here come the Niners. Offensive line has been fine. Purdy's not getting physically beaten. So that's good. But this defense is currently setting up a situation where it feels like you better score a touchdown pretty much every time you touch the ball. And in December, they pretty much have. And so they've won all the games. But historically, don't we feel like that doesn't work? That doesn't work in the end. That's what That's what I keep fighting. This is fun. This is amazing. I'm impressed. But my historical brain goes, this doesn't work. It doesn't work in the NFL.
It just depends on the matchup and where you are and what the conditions are. And I think that this Sunday, if in fact it is rainy, or Saturday rather, at Levi's, if it is wet and rainy and more of a sloppy track, well, then you're going to have to do things a little bit differently, most likely. And the Seahawks defense is better than the Bears, certainly. The Bears defense is not great. And you can go back to the Colts defense, which was really hampered and injured. They lost both their quarters. So you're looking at a defense you're going to face that's better than what you've had over the past month or so. And with a sloppy track, well, you're going to have to do things a little bit more different.
Yep. Now, the other thing is, though, Sam Darnold's fine, but like the Seahawks don't offer a whole lot in their running game. Smith and Jigba is terrifying, but Caleb Williams is much more dynamic than Sam Darnold. You've been saying all year from your fantasy wounds.
Oh,
you're
boy.
Like if I had a dollar audience for every time we've gotten to a commercial break and Dibs has looked at me and gone, Sam Darnold sucks. You've said that a lot.
Well, and then he plays when I have him on my bench, and he plays awesome.
All right, well, then play him this weekend.
Well, then I played him, and the season's over, so I won't play him.
Yeah, but play him anyway. Go into your app and play him.
Just for the sake of having him play poorly, because that's what happens when I play him.
I got a text from my mom yesterday. Niners win, whole family's text.
Who won the family league?
Not over yet. It's down to the lovely Christy and Abe.
Ooh, okay.
But she's down, but she got action tonight. So we'll see. So Kyren Williams will decide the family championship. Anyway, I get a text from my mom. Everybody's like, Niners, wow, great, this, that, boop, boop, boop. About an hour later, she goes, by the way, I just wanted to let you know that we beat you in the fantasy league. I'm like,
weren't
playing, Mom. You know, yeah, like fifth place game. I'm like, Mom, I didn't set my lineup. There's nothing on the line. And I didn't get a response to that. So anyway, you can still go in there and start your guys.
Yeah, and
even
if
you don't have a game.
I did against Ken in the fifth place game.
Oh, good.
Just to try to like improve my profile for next year. Because, you know, in Yahoo, you get like gold, silver.
Yeah, you get points.
Yeah. So, I mean, by getting fifth place, that'll give me some status next year. It's important.
Congrats. Thanks. Congrats on that. All right. 888-957-9570. How does watching this 49er team make you feel? It's a little like, I'm trying to liken it to something. I don't know. It's kind of like flying to Vegas or something like that. There's like butterflies. It's exciting. It's fun, but there's some butterflies in there. Maybe it's like going to ask somebody out on a date for the first time. It's exciting. Whew. But it's nerve-wracking, and it can crash and burn very quickly.
But, I mean, unlike that, you have a little bit of a comfort zone. You have a landing spot where we've already talked about it. Like, this year is a 7 out of 10 already in terms of satisfaction.
Totally.
So, unlike when you're trying to ask a girl out, and if she says no, you might be absolutely crushed and crestfallen because you have nothing else. But in this, like, even if they go out and they lose to Seattle, and you're the 5 or the 6 or whatever, and you go out and you lose on the road, it still would have been a fun year.
Do you yell at electronics?
Not usually.
Like, what was the loudest moment last night? That's another one I want to throw out to everybody, because this is like a video game. What was the loudest moment in your house?
Probably on the hook and lateral where, you know, Chicago's going
to... To Swift.
Right.
Okay.
I think it was Loveland to Swift.
Loveland to Swift, yes.
And then it was an oh! Because, like... The stones to have that be your call.
I love
the call. And Ben Jones, you know, he's got no timeout. So you're either going to throw it in the end zone 3 times or 4 times and hope for the best. But no, he runs Loveland over the middle and a little flippy flip to Swift coming the other way. And it was, oh! And then Diamond Lenore, he just breaks down like a football player. And he just, you know, he's doing the quick step. And he's like, okay. And just he came up and he made the tackle. And he had help as well. But if he would have run up, he might have gotten juked, and the game's over.
No doubt.
So the defense was bad. I'm not going to defend them other than And I'll run through the plays maybe more so tomorrow. We have more time. But there were three or four plays that the defense made that were, yeah, oh, my God, yes. Big time.
No doubt.
Big plays and big moments. Yes, you gave up, what, 38 or whatever points. It was. But when they needed a defensive play, they had it, and that was one. And then the next one where Huff almost gets the sack, and they pressured Williams, and they forced him to roll on the final play of the game. And the defense on that play, they were up to it.
And there might be defensive players on the Niners driving around right now going, we did not give up 38.
Right, 31.
We gave up 31.
That's fair.
Yep. Just
a clean 31.
It's just 31. Yeah. Not that that's anything to brag about. For us, loudest moment was definitely the Jennings touchdown. Largely, though, that's because I think that was the only score that came after my show ended. So I was doing the show in the living room with young Jude sitting next to me. He actually said to me, he goes, Dad, how do you do that? How do you, like you're so invested in this game, and you're just talking through it like the Bears will go into the end zone, and you'll just talk through it like nothing happened. And I'm like, it takes some practice. Because you're just twisted in knots, but you're live. And you don't want, like, you're not going to just start screaming. So as soon as the show ended, then I could be myself. And the Jennings touchdown was like me letting out all six touchdowns at once.
Exactly.
So that was loud. We scared the dog. All right. Let's go to Sean in Oakland. Hi, Sean. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm very excited for what's going on right now in Santa Clara. This is amazing. Like, I'm a Raider fan, but I swear, right now, I love what's going on over there. The whole organization, everything is on point right now. The defense got to get worked on because this whole little trying to be the greatest show on turf like the Rams back in the day, it got to stop from one time. The defense got to do something. But I love what's going on over there. At this moment, on December 29th, I'm really thinking about converting back to a Niner.
Woo! That is a big – Sean from Oakland, you're turning your silver and black in for the Niners?
Man, I don't – look, man, they're in Vegas, man. They ain't got no loyalty to us. Why would I have the loyalty for them? I'm not in Vegas.
John, that is as fair as fair gets. Yeah. All right, man. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate that. I mean, I think what Sean is saying is if you look at what the Niners are doing, it's kind of intoxicating. That's the other thing. You know, like the way this looks, it might be a little hard for an actual Niner fan because you would like the defense to offer up something. But my God, these games are fun. These are a great watch. Prime time games, 2 weeks in a row. What was the final score of the Colts-Niners? Was it 48-27? Something like that? 48-27, Colts-Niners game? Whatever it is. Just add all those points up. Add all that up. We're like pushing like damn near 200 points.
Yep.
Since
Brock came back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, no, I just mean the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the last 7 days, we're damn like...
That's 90 points in the last two.
No, for the whole game.
Total points,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, for the whole game.
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, it's 155 for both teams, so...
Okay, the over.
And I was thinking about this earlier, like, would you rather have a team that is so suffocating with an offense that is mediocre or worse, and so you're hoping to win 14-13, or this, where you're trying to win 42-38, where you know your defense is not going to stop them, and so... Every time the other team has the ball, you're thinking, oh, boy, hopefully they score quick so we have time to go back and answer.
But can I answer that two ways? I think in one way, I'd rather have the offense because that's like what people watch and it's a little more prideful and fun. But the team that has that great defense historically is the one that actually has a chance to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
That team you just described was Gruden's Bucks. It was Ray Lewis's Ravens.
Yeah.
It was the Bears with the Super Bowl shuffle. Like a whatever offense, they just rode the defense all the way to the bowl.
But I wonder if now the league hasn't changed to where, you know, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where does defense win championships? I don't even know if that's the case anymore because it's so hard to play defense. And I think about the NBA a little bit where, you know, teams are putting up 130 and losing because the pace and the three ball and defense is so hard to play in the association. And football's kind of similar, where you get 5 yards where you can manhandle a guy, and then the passing game is so efficient now. You got these guys, other than Caleb Williams, completing, you know, 65 or 68, 70% of their throws. And, you know, these receivers have these fancy gloves now, so there are fewer drops and the rest of it. And, you know, and just the offenses are now so sophisticated that maybe you don't need an elite defense anymore to win.
Javier in Richmond is next. Hi, Javier. We're taking all your calls on this. How does this team make you feel, this experience? 888-957-9570. What's up, Javier?
How you guys doing? But to be honest, the team makes me feel sick because my pessimistic nature doesn't allow me to believe that we're going to make these plays as often as we do. And despite the fact that the defense gives up booty, far too often they seem to make the big play when it's needed. You know, the Lenore tackle, you know, at the giving of, you know, reminded me of Greenlaw on the, you know, on the goal line. It's that kind of importance as far as what they're doing out there on defense just to keep us in it. And the offense, I can't believe we make all the plays when, you know, my nature is to not believe that we're going to make any.
I think that's all well said. Like, some of this does, Javier, thanks. This does, I like that he points to his nature.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with how we all look at this. I think it's fair to define this season's 49er fandom as fully excited, but still not believing. I know that that bothers some of you because some of you feel like that's your job as a fan, is to believe in your team. But the numbers are all there, whether it be Vegas's spreads or just kind of the way fans have behaved both at the games, both during games, the games that we've gone out to. I certainly felt it. It's like I don't feel the full-blown playoff fever experience that you normally feel when your team is 12-4 and going for the one seed.
Right, and you think about the year Brock got hurt and they went to Philly and he, you know, lost his elbow in that game. You felt a lot more confident.
Totally.
You and I actually talked about it, and I said, well, I still think that Philly should win the game and they will win the game, and whatever, Brock gets hurt, and so the game turned into something that it otherwise wasn't going to be. But that was, at least for most people, yourself included, you were believing like, yeah, you're going to go to Philly, you're going to win this game. Butcher and Bonte, they both went out there and they had the same feeling and they had to survive through the Philly fan and all the rest of it. But this year, to your point, doesn't feel that way. And maybe if they beat Seattle and they get the one seed, maybe that will signal a shift where, okay, now you've won 7 in a row and you're 13-4 and you're the one seed and you host and the Super Bowl's here. Maybe we're just one win away from fans being able to fully buy in and believe.
Maybe, but it depends also on the style of it. You know, what? How do you feel if the Niners do win another, like, score-fest barn burner,
right,
31-28 thing over the Seahawks? I don't know that it matters. You know what I mean? Like, fan belief, I don't care what pair of socks you wear during the games. Like, I don't, we don't affect the way this whole thing goes. I've just never experienced this as a fan. I've never experienced the idea of the Niners being really good with their eyes on the one seed going into the final week and being an underdog. And fans still looking at it like, well, I mean, fun ride, but the bubble is going to burst at some point, most likely. Like, I don't know. Is there a comp we can think of? A team that did ride its offense all the way to the Super Bowl while its defense was poor. I know people love to bring up one of Eli Manning's New York Giants teams, which had a very, very poor rated defense.
Yep.
But if you then go to the Super Bowl and look at the way that they performed during the playoffs, they weren't winning games 41-38. That's not what ended up happening. So I would say that that was a poor rated defense that then found something. It got better. It found something that was clicking a little bit come playoff time. I can't think of somebody who rode the Super Bowl on 41-38. I can't think of that historically.
And it's hard historically because I do think that things are different now where offenses have a bigger edge, mm-hmm, right now, especially when you think about the Niners and Kyle Shanahan. And just look at yesterday. Again, he was in his bag, quote unquote, with, you know, all the play action, the boot action. Even they got into the read option down by the goal line, and Brock Purdy reading the defensive end, reading the linebacker, and pulls it out, and he rolls in for the touchdown. Brock Purdy right now and Kyle Shanahan as 1 and 1A, whoever you want to favor, they are incredible. You had no Kittle. You had no Trent for all but one snap.
Come on.
It was Tongis and Jawan and, of course, McCaffrey, and so we will never look beyond that as, like, maybe the most important person in the NFL, and I do think that he should garner a lot of attention for MVP. I know he won't because we don't do that, but for me, he's the most valuable player in the league.
Well, he's got to be top five, and I don't even know if he'll get that.
Right.
But, like, I get it. You know, it's a quarterback award, so if people want to focus in on Stafford and Drake May, that's fine. Jackson Smith and Jigba deserves a comment here as well.
Sure.
Based on, and we'll see who wins this game on Saturday. That might affect it too, but you're right. I mean, McCaffrey's name ought to at least be in this conversation with what he's doing. Because, by the way, I don't know if I can, like, actually do this and dispel. Remember the whole, like, well, what's Brock Purdy without the Avengers?
Yep.
All right, well, so this is it. But maybe not. Maybe it's not the Avengers. Maybe it's just Avenger. Maybe that's it. Because when you said the Avengers, literally none of them were there last night, except for Christian.
Yep.
Christian's still there, but no George. And when we used to say Avengers, we were talking Debo and Ayuk and obviously the best left tackle in the game.
Yep.
And we would sprinkle all that. Well, now he's playing with Jake Tongis, Kendrick Bourne, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson, and Sky Moore. So, you know, look, there are some things I think over the last 5-6 weeks that we can now sort of, I feel like, as a 49er fan base, you can move forward with and feel good about. You know, I know that there were people who, whatever your feelings are about Kyle Shanahan, whatever your feelings are about Brock Purdy and the contract, you've got your guys. Like, doesn't this make you feel like, you know how they're all rebooting? Oh, let's reboot the defense. We got to reboot the salary cap because now we got to do it with big contract Brock. Doesn't this make you feel like, oh, actually we can build around that guy. We can rebuild a roster around that guy, and it can be effective and compete at a high level.
If you think about just who was on the field last night, you had Jake Tongis, who had, I think, no targets before this year.
Correct.
He's a third-year guy who is, you know, lightly drafted or undrafted, and you've got DeMarcus Robinson, who will be here next year, Sky Moore, Kendrick Bourne. These are all just guys, and even Juwan Jennings, who's going to get an increase in his salary. I don't know if it's here or elsewhere, but outside of McCaffrey, so you got Purdy and McCaffrey, and then you have a bunch of guys, just guys, and it's because of Shanahan and the play design, but it's really because of Brock Purdy. He knows the offense. He knows what needs to happen in the offense. He made one mistake on the pick, which, yep. I mean, I thought that it was just a great defensive play and stuff, and, you know, he broke on the ball, and that's just kind of the way that happens sometimes.
It's football.
Right, it's football.
Sure.
The other team's allowed to be better than you on a play, and that's what Chicago does. But beyond that, Brock Purdy with his legs, Brock Purdy with the read option, Brock Purdy with a couple of big, big-time throws. And, by the way, another fourth quarter comeback for Brock Purdy, which we don't do that here in San Francisco.
That throw to Juwan was chef's kiss.
I mean, that was a great play call by Shanahan.
Great play call, but a push down the field, layered throw.
Yep.
To a spot over the linebackers in front of the safeties, blocker ready to go as soon as Juwan caught it, walk into the end zone, touchdown. Yeah, yeah. That's the fourth quarter drive you want. Put the ball in your quarterback's hands, down three, go get us points. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
And some big third down conversions on that drive.
And two plays before that that I thought was the play of the day from Shanahan, they run the fake stretch left, and everyone's going to the right, and you fake it that way, and then you boot the other way, and just when he's booting, all the blockers are right, he swings around and throws it right to McCaffrey.
Back to McCaffrey, yeah.
And he rumbles for 18 down the sideline. That was a first down play, but that got you down to where, you know, you'd get the 38-yard touchdown of Juwan. But just that play design where you knew that Chicago was so thirsty to come and get him on that play. You fake it to him, you boot, the defense readjusts. Nope, we're still going back that way.
Yeah, that was very, genius. Very, very good. Well executed. Steve in Oakland is next. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I'm a diehard 49er fan, and I'm trying to get as excited as everyone else, but I'll tell you why I stay a little worried. If you take your lesson from baseball, the best hitters ever, you know, they get hot, but eventually they cool off. But defense never goes into a slump. And I just think expecting the 49ers to score 40 points or 35 points or even 30 points every single week is just unrealistic. Whereas if their defense was just, you know, off the charts, that is a little bit more reliable and you can count on that. And so I don't know. I don't know how long they can stay hot, but it's very rare that offense stays hot for a long time.
Steve, thanks. I don't think Steve is wrong. Like, here's what I would say about the Niners' playoff chances. If you're trying to do what they did last night the whole time, like all the way through January and into February, I don't think that's going to work. The defense is going to have to play better. They do not. That does not mean they have to suddenly be stuff them, hold them to 16 points type of a defense. But there's going to have to be more playmaking. There's going to have to be some sacks. There's going to have to be an interception or two that is created here or there, because that's kind of what flips the field into the 49ers' favor. They were very fortunate to get away with being the ones who turned the ball over to the other team, and then they were still able to outscore the Bears by 11 from that point forward. But think about the Colts game. Colts up 7-0, you answer. Colts up, you know, yep. And then what do? Bang, you get the fumble on special teams. Now it's 14-7, now they're chasing. And we know this is a staple of Kyle Shanahan. Whether it's high scoring or low scoring, he wants to be chased. He does not want to be the chaser. And so that's going to be the difficulty for me throughout the playoffs, is to remain the chased, not the chaser, while your defense is giving up that many points.
And you mentioned the Giants earlier as the worst defense to ever win the Super Bowl, and I'm just looking at their game log. The one thing about that team that the Niners don't do, that team took the ball away from the opponent. Yep. Almost twice a game. They're more like the Bears this year than they are like the Niners this year. And by the way, that Giants defense in the playoffs, they turned it up about five notches.
Yep. They were much better. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything. It is time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 14 threes on Christmas versus the Mavs. 16 more in Toronto last night. That's two more donations from Petinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. And despite the loss last night, Steph and Draymond, 4 threes each, pods and posts with a couple each, few others chipping in. That's number 31 and 32 as far as donations this season for Triples for Autism. To make a donation yourself, to help out with autism, to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, and it's brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PetinelliFP.com. Warriors Live is a half hour away, but why get depressed when you don't have to? We still got 30 more minutes of Niners. So keep on calling. How do you feel when you watch this team play? That half of the team, and then the other half of the team. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
There we go, quick with the play clock running down. He did. It's a boot. Purdy pulling back, stepping forward, going on a touchdown! What a play, Purdy! This check on the business end. You deserve to dance.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I do like this new version of Purdy. A little more trash talky, but not really. You know, there was that the ball fake there were against Tennessee. And then after the game, he's like, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But like, Purdy and the Dougie is working for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I honestly think this is part of why there's still a brigade out there that's like, A game manager. We had a texter a few minutes ago that said, you know, this just proves Shanahan's system is great. You see Brock and Mac having the exact same success. I'm like, my God, I can't watch football with you. It's fine.
Right.
You can see whatever you see. If you think Mac and Brock look the same, good on you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. The dude right now is playing like one of the best players in the NFL, period. You can't game manage rolling out to your left, dancing, putting tap shoes on, making Bears defenders spin around with a tutu on, and then throw to a fullback in the corner of the end zone and be like, wow, Shanahan, that was awesome. Way to go, Shanahan. Like, come on. Come on. The guy's playing unbelievable, and I think that a little bit of Dougie helps because the aw shucks thing, it just feeds into the whole, like, well, Brock's just out there riding the whole Shanahan train. I think it feeds it. And so if you got a little moxie, like everybody who's in the huddle with him, they'll tell you.
Yeah, Trent said it last week.
They're like, he's a different dude, but we don't see that. So the more we can see, the more I think the world would be open to being like, oh, he's a star.
I guess, and the draftism will always dog him. And even last night, you know, they showed the montage of Caleb going number one overall, and then he goes to, I guess there's a Mr. Irrelevant, I don't know if it's a banquet or a camp.
It like, used to be like a parade.
It's something.
There's
and
a party.
He brought his parents, yeah, and it's like, yeah, Mom and Dad, I'm Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. Ha, 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 isn't this great? And now those two are squaring off, and he's the one with, you know, the extra level of moxie, and Caleb Williams is much, much better. He still has a ways to go before he can be, I think, as good as Brock Purdy. I don't know if he ever will be, but accuracy is still a problem. But you look at what Brock does in the offense. He has great command of it. He's able to execute the fakes, and when they ask him to run, whether it's a scramble or a design run or the play you're talking about where he rolls left and he's able to get skinny and avoid one guy and then juke another and still run up to the line and run up to where I might run it, guys.
Yep.
And then the Bears defenders both had to kind of take a step or two up, and then it's just boom, right to a Juszczyk.
He ran for two touchdowns also last night.
Yep.
I mean, like, I don't know why we would hesitate to say that Brock is one of the better legs quarterbacks.
Yeah, two-way threats, yeah.
In the NFL.
We all talk about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts.
Right, he's not Lamar. He's not Josh. But he's definitely one of the better, right?
Right, and if you wanted to go from, like, different categories of running dual-threat quarterbacks, well, there's Lamar, who is always a threat because he's such a great athlete when healthy. Josh is just a big hoss where if he chooses to run... Yeah. Even if you hit him, he's getting three or four because he's just so big. And he's also quietly very quick and nimble, and he can sneak it. Jalen Hurts is more of a short yardage guy, and they've turned him more into a pocket passer. Yeah. Then there's Kyler Murray, who's more of a Lamar, lightweight Lamar, but if he even is a quarterback anymore.
Yeah, he's not very good with the other stuff.
But beyond that, if you want to talk about the semi-fast, semi-mobile guys like Brock, I mean, I think he's more mobile than Justin Herbert. And
Herbert's mobile, but I agree with you.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, if you think about guys of his ilk, like guys who they don't always look to run, but when they run, they can be effective. And you can also run like design stuff with them. Like they ran a lot of read option last night where, you know, Purdy had the choice, and that's when he scored his touchdown, where he made the perfect read and was able to waltz in.
Yep, elusive. And then there's a few runs, you know, like there's the off-schedule stuff where he'll just gain 4 yards.
Yep.
As opposed to taking a sack, I can't stress how important that is. To turn the 4 or 6 yard loss into a 4 yard gain, it's just a drive changer. We'll go back to the phones here in a second. Rex Ryan on Get Up on ESPN said this morning.
For those of you who started your day with us on Sunday NFL Countdown, you might have heard Rex Ryan say what about Brock Purdy?
That he's the most underrated quarterback in the league. And it ain't close. I think when people look at him, they never give him props. Here's another 5 TD day for him.
Mm-hmm.
But people will focus, he threw an interception. Yeah, okay, that happens. No quarterback in the league throws with more accuracy, timing and anticipation better than this guy. He throws people open. And to me, it's crazy because this young man right here doesn't have the great NFL skill set of, you know, the rocket arm, the size, the athleticism. No, but he plays the position about as well as anybody. And that's why it reminds me of Drew Brees, you know, an undersized guy. But Drew, I had to defend against all of them. But anticipation, timing, accuracy, that was Drew Brees. That's this kid. And I always think it's funny because when everybody was talking, Mac Jones should be the starter. What? No, he shouldn't. Now, Mac Jones did a great job with this coach. This coach is phenomenal. Shanahan is amazing, but Brock Purdy is special.
Yeah, Mac Jones has his fingerprints on this season. There's no doubt. He went 5-3 and did a wonderful job in those eight games. And then there's this. And Brock Purdy's gone 7-1 in his eight games, and the Niners have busted like 35-40 points in a bunch of them. So anyway, like, you know, all of this, what the likening him to Drew Brees, I wonder how that makes everyone feel. And by the way, like, I don't think he's accomplished, obviously, what Drew has in the passing game yet. But we were talking about his mobility. He's more mobile than Drew. So if he's Drew Brees, if that's where his passing career is headed, or even three quarters of it, and then add in the mobility that he has, I mean, you're talking about something that I think is pretty exciting.
Very special. And I think the comp for Brees is not only the throwing style, and Collinsworth did a good breakdown last night on Sunday Night Football about the way they deliver it with their feet, and you know the way that their feet are always moving, because as a smaller quarterback, which Drew might be 6 feet, I don't know if Purdy's 6'1", or whatever, he had a couple more passes batted down when he's in the pocket. You have to move Brock Purdy a lot for him to be effective, because he's shorter than every defensive lineman he'll ever face. And so, is he more mobile than Drew Brees? Yeah, I think when it comes to like breaking containment and running the ball. But Drew Brees was elite at what Brock is also very good at, which is pocket mobility, outside the pocket, and the ability to make plays happen, not so much on the run, but off schedule, but also outside the pocket. And that's where, you know, you remember Drew Brees in New Orleans when he passed 70% completion, and he was one of the first guys to do that. It's because they were able to move him away from danger and the other tall guys, and I think that that's what Shanahan's doing with Purdy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, Caleb Williams had a couple balls batted last night as well. I just want to point that out. Like, if you watch NFL, like, batted balls, that's just...
It happens.
That's the deal. Like, everybody gets a few of those a game.
No doubt.
But, I mean, your point is well taken, though. No question. All right, we do need to fade the Dibbers. We'll do that at 3:20. Okay,
boy. Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to.
And for those of you not tuned in on the daily, it's fading season because your boy is struggling.
Yeah, you're colder than the weather, and it's chilly.
Fade.
And not only have you lost four in a row, I get it because it was the holiday season, but you came in thinking that you had a 1-2 weekend.
Yeah,
and
that's
it was
awkward.
Actually 0-3, so we're misremembering.
Well, no, by the time I made my picks in my pool, I had flipped the pick, and whatever. I had to pick before we knew a lot of information, and so no excuses, but like the Green Bay-Baltimore pick, I thought that Love would play and Lamar wouldn't. Turns out neither played, and I mean, their backup was better than the Packer backup, so there you go.
Was he?
I mean, I guess they...
Derrick Henry won that football game.
Right.
Malik Willis. Hey, Malik Willis's name could come up this offseason. He's a free agent coming out of his rookie deal. And I thought he was pretty intriguing the other night. And so if you're one of these quarterback needy teams that's not thinking draft, I know we've all been talking about, is somebody going to call the Niners?
They should.
And offer a 2 for Mac Jones? What about Malik Willis, who is just a flat free agent? And I thought... He did it all, and he's done it all now a few times this year. He's thrown the ball well. He's also got great legs, great speed. I thought he played a smart game. He was really good. He was really good in that game, and the only reason they lost is because, my God, Derrick Henry just ran roughshod over a Packers defense that looks like they're licking their wounds with Micah Parsons out.
Yep. He only had 216 yards on the ground.
That's right. And 4 touchdowns.
36 carries.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're running him in the ground.
Whenever,
big win for Baltimore.
Whenever it's week 17 and someone goes off, I just am like, who had him?
Yep.
Who showed up to their fantasy title game and had either Derrick Henry or Brock Purdy or whatever? Who showed up and had that guy? Especially with the Derrick Henry thing was on a Saturday. You know how depressing that is to get all the way? You're like, I'm in the title game before you
you're
even get to Sunday. You're
down 84-0, right?
It's just like, what? Really? Can I enjoy my weekend, please? All right, let's go to Earl in Hayward. Hi, Earl. Thank you for calling.
Hey, yo, what's good, fellas? Happy Victory Monday, man. Out here enjoying this afternoon walk with my pup. And nice. I'm enjoying this conversation, you know, about how we feel about the team. And it's got me thinking about our last few playoff runs and the fact that I feel like it doesn't even matter who's in the game. Something about the way that Brock is controlling the offense is that Kyle is calling it differently. I feel like Kyle's play calling is more to win the game, to go take a victory than to try to get a lead and protect it. And I haven't felt that way about, you know, even going back as far as the Jimmy-led Super Bowl team in 2019, it was all, you know, we had to lean on the defense. We had to lean on the defense. I'm looking at our defense like, bro, we need 1 to 2 big plays in the game. Like, if we can embrace the bend-don't-break mentality, you know, everybody thought Chicago had a better defense than we did before last night, but which defense forced the field goal instead of allowing a touchdown? Like, our defense, you know, was spotted 7 points, and they were the ones who were able to get us the ball back, tie a game, and we can go take the lead. Like, those little things I feel like will make a difference. It might not be Super Bowl caliber, but I'm not really worried about anybody else in the NFC because I haven't felt this confident in a long time that we can go score 27, 30 points in every game and just get the one stop, the one turnover, you know, that our defense might need to get us. Plus, with the special teams better than it's been, you know, come on, man. Like, that's also a big swing, you know, of leverage that I feel like we could take advantage of that we haven't had in a long time. So I feel good, man. We need one more dub, and let's see what happens, baby.
Hey, Earl, if I don't know that Kyle is calling it differently, because sometimes it gets hard for us to watch a game on TV and be able to tell what a call actually was. But if he is calling it more aggressively, what does that tell you?
I think it tells me that he really does trust Brock. Like, Brock is the guy. There's no more questions about whether, you know, whose offense it is or the best quarterback that Kyle Shanahan has had as a head coach. Like, him being able to, even his comfort with Brock making off-schedule plays. Like, he's throwing his headset on the ground, you know, in a couple of years ago or when Jimmy would try to do something like that. And a lot of times it was an oh-no throw. Y'all were just talking about how Brock will take the little check down or Brock will throw the ball away instead of taking a 4 to 6 yard sack trying to extend a play. Those are the things that the Bradys of the world do to win championships, and the reason why some of these other guys, you know, who maybe take bigger risks like that, make mistakes. So I feel like, you know, it's something. There's something going on, man. I don't know if it's just this season. If it's also the fact that we don't have the defense that we have had in years past.
Yep.
Maybe it doesn't give Kyle a choice, and he knows he has to. Hey, we got to go win this. Like, I can't hand it over to our D to try to protect the lead. We got to go blow guys out of the water. And to be fair, for a fan like myself, it's more exciting to watch. It does spike my blood sugar a lot worse, and I'll be throwing items around the house, but you know, or blood pressure rather, but you know what I mean? It's fun football. It hasn't been this fun to watch us play offensive football in a long time. And I miss Fred out there. I miss Nick Bosa out there, but you know, if we get far enough to get Fred back on the field, I don't see us losing to anybody.
Oof. Yeah. Earl, good call. Have a good walk with the pup. If Kyle Shanahan is calling plays more aggressive, what does it tell you? Earl has some good answers there. You know, he mentions
trust in Brock.
Trust in Brock, but it's also, I do, you know, we talk so much about skill set because Brock Purdy's a 7th-round draft pick, and like you even heard Rex Ryan say it a moment ago, like he doesn't have that all those traditional skills you're looking for. He doesn't have Josh Allen's skills. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes' skills. Understand, though, the skills that he does have.
Right.
So it's not only, I agree, maybe it's trust in Brock. There's also a bunch of stuff he can do that these other, like Mac Jones, for example, can't do. You can't do as much boot action with Mac Jones because
right.
he's half as fast. And it's not going to work, and it's not going to scare anybody, and it's not going to change the defense and move them all over the place. So, yeah, like you play with the toys that are in your toy box. And I think that that's what we're seeing now in the second half of this season. I know that George has missed some games, Ricky's missed some games, but you're watching a coach that has more at his disposal than he had both, I think, earlier this year and at other points in the last couple of years, too.
No doubt, and that's a good way to put it. So if you think about quarterbacks in the past, even Mac Jones, you're not going to ever run read option with Mac Jones because the defense won't respect the keep. So you're going to run read option with Mac Jones. Okay, go ahead and not give it to the running back. We dare you to keep it, and we'll see how far you get. But Brock Purdy, again, yesterday, I'm looking at the notes. It was a 3rd-down play. third and two, and they ran the same thing, and he kept it, and he got 3 yards, moved the chains. He scrambled and got yardage, as you were mentioning. Instead of taking a sack for minus seven, even if you run and get two or three, that becomes a positive play. And like Jimmy Garoppolo, you didn't run a lot of read option. Trey Lance, you run a ton of that, but the defense didn't have to respect him throwing the ball. So for the first time under Shanahan, you've got a guy who's a legitimate dual-threat quarterback, and McCaffrey's healthy. So as a defense, if it's second and seven or third and four, you have no idea what's coming.
I think we get a Trey Lance game this weekend.
Yeah?
No Justin Herbert.
Does that mean Trey gets the ball?
Trey Lance is the starter.
I love it. Let's see it.
Let's see Trey Lance play football.
Yeah? Maybe he becomes a hot commodity in the open market.
Does he play Denver? Plays Denver, right?
Gets to play Denver. Boy. Not a soft landing spot.
Denver will go for it because they win. They're the one seed.
They get the one seed if they win it. All right. Hey, if you're on hold, stay right there. We're coming to you. But a couple of things that we need to do, including, as he put it, it's fade season. There was nothing more devastating, nothing more effective in the history of football than going against Dan Dibley in the playoffs last year. We have reached the holiday season, and he has lost four in a row. So, I don't know. Raise your hand if you feel like you spent too much money this month. And you'd like to make some of it back.
Oh, my God. It doesn't stop. Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah.
All right, let's fade the Denver. Well, tonight, Hotlanta is the spot. And 49er fans, for the first time in a long time, can sit down and watch a Rams game and go, I don't care. I don't care what Puka Nacua does. It's also the final game of the fantasy football season. So everybody get your Bijans and your Pukas. And have a day, will you? And while you're doing it, maybe you can make some Christmas cash, courtesy of Dan Dibley. The Rams are -7.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Dibs?
Well, this is an easy one if you think about it. And just for the audience and just some background on what I've done this week, I pick every game in a pool in which I am number one in the season. I am the season points leader.
Fancy.
Going into this week. Mm-hmm. This week I have gone 2-12-1.
Must be the holidays.
2-12-1. And Happy one of the year. Only games I won was a game changed because I took Kansas City in my pool. Turns out on the air I had Denver. So if you think about my picks here, the only one I've won is Cincinnati over Arizona. Big whoop. So if you want to make money, this is the pick to fade. And you know what? This one's easy. You've got a heavy blitzing team against a quarterback who loves to be blitzed. Atlanta, go ahead and blitz. Stafford's going to carve you up. You take the Rams and you lay the 7.5 cuckoo. Hey! How can you not?
Say it one more time.
You going to fade?
In 2025.
Fade the Denver.
Fade.
What's my overall record now, Brandy? I'm probably like 35-28 or something. I've come back
to
earth.
You are now 39-31, but you've lost four in a row. And let's see here. You are 5-9 in your last 14.
I got Dibs going 85-74.
A losing record is still on the table, Dibs, if you don't turn this damn thing around.
And this is when we get hot.
Yeah, this is woo. This fate.
39-31. I was 16-4. That 23-27. That's
it's not embarrassing.
No, it's sub 500. But
let's
do 2-12-1 this week,
dude.
I mean,
dude.
Honestly, like, wow. I spit the bit. It's a horse racing term. Bad.
All right,
back to college basketball.
So I want y'all fade with me. Falcons +7.5 tonight. Rams, no Devontae Adams, and just feeling sorry for themselves. Oh, we're the best team in the NFC. Yeah, you're in third place. You're in third place, and there's a big game this Saturday with two of your division mates. They get the one seed, not you.
Not you.
Get your suitcases ready, Rams.
But they could be the five still, right?
Yeah.
With two wins.
They probably will be the five.
Yeah. If they win tonight.
Hit the road, Jack. Yeah, you might end up in Carolina, but hit the road, Jack. I remember a game in Carolina against the Rams just a couple of weeks ago, and I remember you losing that game.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
This is exactly why you're in this position. Stafford, fade.
McVay.
McVegas. Don't you bet against Sean McVegas now.
He'll kick a field goal for no reason.
Well, I mean,
you got to watch him now.
So if they're up 27-20 with 18 seconds left, he's going to trot out the kicker.
Kick the field goal.
Mevis.
Yeah. Well, the problem with
them is... Get me Mevis. Their special teams have been bad.
Yeah, they're going to go out there and miss. But anyway. Okay. Warriors live in a little bit. Engagement is everything on the court and in life. We ask you to vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game. It is presented by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler. And earlier we asked, Steph Curry played 41 minutes last night. Jimmy Buckets had 38. So what will they do for an encore after last night? Will Steph and Jimmy combine to score more points tonight than the Niners scored last night, which was 42? Thank you for all of the votes. The yeses have it at 73.1%. 73% of you think that Steph and Jimmy will combine to score more than 42 tonight. And my answer to this is they better.
Right?
I mean, they better. They better. Someone texted in earlier and said, my answer is Steph will beat that number by himself and they'll still lose.
Is that where we are now with this Warrior team?
How can you not
be? And we can get into it on Warriors Live. Yeah, I mean,
how can you not be?
Just such a disappointment yesterday.
That was maddening.
Yeah.
It was a maddening game. The Niner game was a Madden game. The Warrior game was a maddening game.
No doubt. I mean, they were up the whole way until they weren't, and then you get to overtime, and you just don't ever get a stop, ever?
Well, also, I just think there's different ways to lose. And when, like, as an NBA team, like, why'd you lose? Well, we couldn't get the ball across half court.
Right.
What are we doing? What do you mean? You can't dribble? You can't pass? You can't go back and get the ball? Steph and Jimmy just leaving Will Richard by himself to break down a press? I mean, well, honestly, what are we doing? Steve Kerr said after the game last night, I let the team down. I wanted a follow-up question, which I'll ask him tomorrow. How so? Like, in what way? I'm looking at players who cannot stop turning the ball over. Anyway.
Yep. Bounce back today.
We're sponsored by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your turnover-riddled Warriors with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. So it's easy to sip and enjoy. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Also, Warriors Live is next. It's presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity. Imagine that. Steve Kerr is on the show tomorrow. Greg Cosell is on the show tomorrow. Lots of Niners, lots of Warriors, a full show. Dibs and I will both be here, so we look forward to that, and thank you for all of the Niner talk today. But indeed, Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibs.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.